I hope that you all have your Bibles tonight. If not, you can use the one on your phone. But that, you know, if someone sitting next to you sees you on Craigslist or texting, then you're a stumbling block for somebody else. So I just want you to know that tonight. If you're sitting there watching football, then I would say your soul's in danger. I know that I hinted this morning that I was going to be doing something along the lines of this morning tonight, and the Lord kind of shut that down, said it wasn't ready yet, and returned me to what I already had planned for tonight. And it is a teaching. I want to share with you something tonight, and I have to go through a number of scriptures in order to do this. Maybe you have wondered at times why. Because we talk about the blood of Christ, why a bloody religion? Why is the blood of Christ so important? And another related subject, why the virgin birth? Why was it necessary? Why is this so important? And today we have groups that deny the virgin birth. Why was it necessary? And why do we believe so strongly in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? What is it about the blood? There is great wonder that unfolds in the Word of God. When you begin to trace this subject and you begin to look at it, you can take what I'm about to give you, and if you want to make notes, I'm not going to read every scripture for the sake of time. I was going to have different people read scriptures, and I realized it wouldn't work with the recording, so I'm just going to refer to some things, read some things, and I want to lay this out for you. You can take it and you can teach this. You will have an understanding of something that you perhaps didn't know before. I know that many, many Christians do not know the last half of what I'm going to share with you tonight. So I want us to just quickly turn to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, verse 4. The subject of this word tonight is precious blood. Precious blood. Genesis chapter 9, verse 4 says, "But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, with its blood." One of the first commandments given in the Word of God was that we not eat flesh or meat that has blood in it, because blood is sacred, as we will see in the Word of God. If you turn over to Leviticus chapter 7, or else note that and write it down, Leviticus 7, 26 and 27. "Moreover, you shall not eat any blood in any of your dwellings, whether of bird or beast. Whether whoever eats any blood, that person shall be cut off from his people." That means shall be put to death. This was such a serious commandment from the Lord. It was such a serious transgression to eat meat with the blood in it, that the transgressor was to be cut off from Israel. Now, if you understand kosher rules, Israel still observes many of these things today, at least in principle. Every kosher meat market that you go to is evidence of God's commandment of the sacredness of blood, because all blood is to be drained from the meat. And this principle, I'm going to try to move quickly because I respect your time tonight. This principle or this law is repeated in the New Testament. You know, not many things are repeated in the New Testament, though if you study it out, the Ten Commandments are all still there in the New Covenant. But they repeat for the early church two or three things. And one of those things was tell the Gentiles that are coming in that don't know the Jewish laws, tell them one of the most important things is do not eat life with the blood in it. Do not eat meat with the blood in it. Understand that was not part of the actual law of God as given through Moses. It was given by Noah, given to Noah by God before the law was ever given. So just like the tithe, it stands outside of the law on either end of the law, either side. In Acts chapter 15, we won't turn there, but in Acts chapter 15, there are several verses there that speak of the early church not eating the meat with the blood. So if you just want to reference that. The world accuses us of a bloody religion, and it's true. We don't like the way they say it, and we cringe when that is thrown at us, but it is a bloody religion. The emergent and seeker-sensitive church movements today, the liberal church movements, they either deny the blood or they hide it. They don't put it out for anybody to see because it's not popular and it might offend somebody. Turn to Leviticus chapter 17, verses 11 and 14. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now we have something added here. The life is in the blood. I want you to let these things, just ponder on them as we go through this, because these are building blocks. The life is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. At this point in history, he's talking about the animal sacrifices, but he says this principle for all. The life is in the blood, and I have given it that you might have atonement for your souls. In other words, that sins might be blotted away. Verse 14, for it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. There is no life without blood. No life without blood. Think for a moment about your marvelous body. You may not think your body is that marvelous, but it is a marvelous creation of God. In the study of the physiology of our blood, our body consists of many different kinds of tissue. You have muscle tissue, nerve tissue, fat tissue, glandular, bone, connective tissue, and all have one thing in common, fixed cells. Cells that do not move. They're all in one place. And so you have what is called fixed cells. They are limited as to location, and they have a specific function only given for that particular location in the body. Unlike these, and you may not have ever studied this, blood is the only fluid tissue in the body. You can look this up. This isn't just something from some preacher's opinion. You can look this up. Blood is tissue. It is called tissue, and it is liquid connective tissue. It is the only liquid or fluid tissue in the body. Other fluids are called secretions, but they are not tissues. It is not limited to one part of the body, but free to move throughout the entire body, touching every other fixed cell. It flows in and out and touches. This moving tissue touches fixed cells wherever it goes. And if you remember the purpose of the blood, one of the purposes is to bring nourishment to those cells, bring oxygen, and to carry away poisons, to cleanse and carry away poisons and waste products. Normal body has about 5 pints of blood pumped by the heart, circulating through the entire system about once every 23 seconds. Once the blood fails to reach the cells and members of the body, they promptly die, because God says life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. No man really dies until the blood ceases to circulate. In God's view of things, being brain dead is still not dead. It is only when the blood ceases to flow to every part of the body to circulate. Now, what is true of our body and our blood is also true of this church, this worldwide universal church in earth and in heaven, made up of all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the body, and all believers are members of his body. All members are related to Christ, and I will establish this in a moment. All members are related to Christ by blood, by his blood. The life of each member depends on his blood, and each is dependent upon the blood of the Lamb for nourishment and cleansing growth, because it is the blood of Christ that cleanses us and does many other things according to the Word of God. I'll name a few of them when we close. There is wide variety in the body of Christ. There are different ethnicities. There's only one race, as we will see. There are different ethnicities. There are different genders. There are different functions, but all are united by what? The same blood. You can write this down. I'm not going to turn there, but Acts 17:26 is a scripture that I love. It says that from one blood, God has created everyone of every nation. From one blood, the blood of Adam, God has created all men of every nation. They are all related. We need to begin to introduce this into our train of thought here. All related by Adam's blood. Adam being the head of our race. And as we know, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and Adam can only reproduce after his own kind. Remember, God established a law in creation, the animals and the plant life. He said that each thing had to reproduce according to its own kind. It could not bring something forth and reproduce something of another kind. Grass reproduces grass. Trees reproduce trees. People reproduce people. Adam could only reproduce his own kind. And so once his nature was changed because of the fall, because of sin coming in, and his fellowship was cut off with God, and his spiritual eyes were darkened, and all of these things that happened, his sin entered into his body, and the decaying, the slow journey towards death began to have its outworking in his body, or its working within its body. Then Adam could not reproduce what he once was. Follow me. Adam was once a created son of God, the Bible says. He was perfect before God, and he had no sin. But now he cannot reproduce sinless creation, because the law of God says that each thing has to reproduce after its own kind. And so Adam and Eve reproduced children, the Bible says, in their own image. In their own image. And so this blood carries the sentence of death. When they sinned, God says that you will surely die. Spiritual death took place in that moment, and in their body, the outworking of sin had its began to take its toll on their bodies as they journeyed towards death. The blood carries life, and sinful blood carries the sentence of death. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." What did we just establish a few moments ago? But that the life is in the blood. Now Adam is formed of the dust of the ground. He is a lump of lifeless clay. But when God breathes into Adam, he becomes a living soul. And in that moment, blood is formed, and all of these life comes into his body. He has blood flowing in his veins, which is a byproduct of God breathing into him and him becoming a living soul. This is a mystery. I don't claim to understand all of this. I'm establishing what is in the Word of God. Life is in the blood. The breath of life. The breath of life was followed by the product, the production of blood. Until God breathed into Adam, he was a lifeless lump of clay, but afterwards he had life from God with blood moving through his veins. The life is in the blood. Adam's body was of the ground, but his blood was the separate gift of God, because it came only when God gifted him with the breath of life. And then Adam sinned. And then Adam sinned. He died spiritually, as I said, and ultimately physically. When man died, quote, spiritually and ultimately physically, because of sin, his blood was affected. The flesh was only affected indirectly. Sin stains the blood. I will come back to this at the very end, but the Bible says that Judas went out after he betrayed the Lord, and he wept, and he said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Isn't it interesting that he did not say, "I've betrayed an innocent soul. I have betrayed an innocent man." He said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Because the Jews understood that life is in the blood, and so is sin associated with the blood, and so it is stained with sin. It is the blood that carries the sinful nature of man. I do not claim to understand this, and it's one of those things that you gather when you put all of these verses together, if you go through the Word of God. So I'm going to rephrase it this way. Some people will say, "Well, that's just speaking metaphorically." Well, if it was speaking metaphorically, then Jesus would have only had to have come and died metaphorically, symbolically. And you'll see that's not the case. It is the blood that is associated with, so I'll say it that way. It is the blood that is associated with the sinful nature of man, which is transmitted to the body of the flesh and brings death. The Bible says in that one sin, who was that? Adam. In that one sin, all have sinned. Because Adam could not reproduce perfection, he could only reproduce imperfection, and so he brings forth a race of men and women born with a sin nature. Even if you're born and you've not committed a sin yet, you come into this world with Adam's sin nature. It is the tendency towards sin. It is the darkened mind and spirituality until you come to Christ and you have that relationship where you are restored with Him. If Christ, well, let me come back to that. This very fact, what I just said, in that one sin, all have sinned, this very fact makes the virgin birth necessary, and you'll understand why in a moment. If Christ was to be a son of Adam, now we're getting into like this intricate puzzle, so stay with me. If Christ was to be a son of Adam and yet a sinless man, think about that. How could Christ partake of Adam and yet be sinless? How could he be born of Adam? How could he be born of the lineage of Adam and yet be sinless before God? So let's clarify that. Christ could partake of Adam's flesh, but he could not partake of Adam's blood, which was stained by sin, which was guilty blood, which was contaminated blood. Only God could conceive of the plan that I'm about to outlay for you. Only God could conceive of such a thing. God made a way by which Jesus, born of a woman, not man, born of a woman, could be a perfect human being, but because he had not a drop of Adam's sin in his blood, in his veins, he did not share in Adam's sin. He comes of the lineage of Adam in the flesh, but not by blood. You have all heard of the scarlet thread of redemption, right? Begins at the Garden of Eden, this trail of blood through the Bible that all points forward to Calvary. You find it when Rahab puts a red scarlet rope out of the window and she is saved. It begins in the garden when God clothes Adam and Eve with animal skins as a covering for atonement, as he sheds blood himself in order to make provision for the covering of his creation that they would not be condemned. We've already read Leviticus 17:11 that said, it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. The gospel is presented to us. Three necessary facts about the gospel are presented to us in that act that God performed in the Garden of Eden in slaying the first animal to make a covering for atonement for Adam and Eve. Number one was that salvation has to be all of the Lord. It has to be something that man cannot do. God made the coat of skins, the Bible says, and clothed Adam and Eve. It has to be totally the work of the Lord. You do absolutely nothing to earn your salvation. It is a free gift from the Father. Salvation number two must be by the death of an innocent substitute. You've heard me preach many, many times. Sin requires the judgment of God. And His judgment, there is nothing that will stop His judgment from falling. But we have this marvelous choice, because the judgment of God will either fall upon the sinner or the substitute. And we have a substitute in Jesus. Amen. Amen. The third thing is, it must be by the shedding of blood. Salvation must come by the shedding of blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, the Bible says. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, for the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purging of the flesh. And I didn't read that right. If the blood of all of those sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So he begins to compare. If the blood of animals sanctified those in the Old Testament, how much more Will the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you and give you a clean conscience before God? The whole plan of redemption hinges upon the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You cannot overemphasize the blood of Christ. There is a teaching in the church today, very prominent Christian teacher who otherwise may teach many wonderful things, but John MacArthur has stated on numerous occasions that the blood of Jesus is just, that's metaphoric. It just speaks of his sacrifice. It's not that his blood was any different from anybody else or was unique or special in any way. And I will tell you that that is false. That is false teaching. And it cuts right at the heart of the truth of the gospel. The whole plan of redemption hinges upon the blood of Jesus Christ. Now begin to take note. It is not Eve's blood which flows in the veins of mankind, but Adam's. It's not Eve's blood, but it's Adam's that we inherited. And you say, well, why? Eve sinned first, she partook of the fruit, and then she gave it to Adam. But it is Adam's blood, tainted by sin. Eve's is tainted by sin also, but you'll follow this and you'll understand it in a moment. It is Adam's blood, not Eve's, which all men inherit. Paul says, by Adam, sin entered the human race. Not by Eve. By Adam, sin entered the human race. Sin is associated with the blood and is transmitted by the blood. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Therefore, the remedy is the application of sinless blood, right? The application of sinless blood. As the first Adam, the first Adam's sin corrupted the blood of the entire human race, so the pure sinless blood of the last Adam, who is that? Jesus. So the pure sinless blood of the last Adam makes atonement for the world. Some of these things you may want to go back and look at later, but that is why in the New Testament, we are not called the seed of the woman, but Adam's seed. We are called Adam's seed. Jesus is called the seed of the woman. You got to bear with me. Jesus is called the seed of the woman because he was born of a woman without one drop of sin-stained blood in his veins. I don't know if you've ever thought of this or if you are getting what I'm saying here, but Jesus was born without one drop of what we inherited from Adam. Jesus gets none of that. He is born of Eve, and he does not let me just rephrase this. He is born after Eve, but he does not inherit any of Adam's sin-stained blood, which is transmitted through the blood. So listen very closely, those of you who like biology. It's transmitted through the blood in which the male contributes to his offspring, as we will see. Jesus had to have a human body, but one drop of Adam's blood. Listen at the plan of God here. One drop of Adam's blood would have made him a sinner by nature, just like you and me. Even if he never sinned, he would have inherited Adam's sin nature if he inherited Adam's bloodline. Let's detour for just a moment. You remember the Ark of the Covenant? It was the central object in the Holy of Holies. The objects that were inside of it, including the law of God, and which was the law written on tablets of stone. There was Aaron's rod that budded, and there was the pot of manna. But there was a golden lid called the mercy seat. It was where mercy was granted for people, for a nation stained with sin, their own sin and Adam's sin that they inherited. You know this, but now listen. This mercy seat was useless until the high priest took blood from the altar and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, and then Jehovah God manifested himself, came down upon the ark in a cloud of glory. And what does the Bible say? It says that the law which was underneath the mercy seat inside of the ark, when God came down, he did not look upon the law which man had broken, but he saw the blood that cried out mercy for the sinner. And God was reconciled to man, or I will say it this way, man was reconciled to God. And instead of the curse of the law, God now brought to man the blessing of the blood. And just as he did at Passover, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. At the mercy seat, when I see the blood, I will pass over. At the altar of sacrifice outside of the tabernacle, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Take away the blood and judgment falls. The blood is the barrier between the judgment of God and the sinner. Remove the blood. Look at this for a moment. Remove the blood from this right here, and it's as lifeless as a dead body. Remove the doctrine of the blood, and you have no gospel of Jesus Christ. There is only one place of shelter, and that is under the blood of Jesus Christ. We're not going to turn there, but in Samuel chapter 6, if you remember the men of Beth Shemesh, the ark had come to them, and they went out, and they got curious after a while, and they removed the lid, and they looked at it, and 50,000 men died. 50,000 men died because they looked upon the holy things of God without the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. So God sent his Son into the world. We're still weaving this, and it's not much more. But God sent his Son in the world to be born of a woman, and at the end of his life, he shed his precious, eternal, sinless blood once for all, with no more need for sacrifice. The blood of the sacrificial animals of the Old Testament, new thought here, the blood of the sacrificial animals of the Old Testament was corruptible. That means it could decay, and it was soon gone. But the Bible says that Christ shed incorruptible blood. The blood of man is not incorruptible, is it? It's corruptible. 1 Peter 1:18 says that we are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, which is incorruptible. Psalm 16 says, you will not leave my soul. This is the Messiah speaking prophetically. You will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. The body of Jesus would not decay because there was pure, sinless blood. The Bible says that Jesus, as our high priest, presented to God the Father his own blood. Some would say metaphorically, but the Bible doesn't say it's only symbolic. It says in Hebrews 9:12 that our high priest, Jesus, went before the Father and presented his own blood in the tabernacle in heaven. And it says then that he sat down at the right hand of God, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are sanctified by his blood. The old hymn of the church says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. It is incorruptible blood. It is overcoming blood. Blood is mentioned 700 times in the Bible. When we see that great multitude of the redeemed in the book of Revelation in heaven, we do not hear them singing about their own goodness, do we? Or how they kept the law of God. But no, they sing this: unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. In Matthew chapter 1, we find the story of the birth of Christ, and it says very plainly that before Mary and Joseph came together, Mary was found to be pregnant. And Joseph was very distraught and considered putting her away. In other words, they were betrothed, but under that law back then, you could divorce one that you were engaged to. And an angel appeared to Joseph and said, no, take her as your wife. And so he becomes an earthly father to Jesus. It goes on in chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, and it says this, quoting the prophecy of the Old Testament. Listen to this. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Why does that matter? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. It is amazing that liberal Bible scholars and churches today try to deny the virgin birth of Christ. The Bible teaches that Jesus was a sinless man. Now, all of us born of Adam are born with Adam's sinful nature, but Jesus was without sin and therefore not subject to death until he took the sins of others upon himself and died their death. Now, while Jesus was of Adam's race according to the flesh, there's a distinction in the Word of God, so listen to this. While Jesus was of Adam's race according to the flesh, according to his body, he did not inherit Adam's nature. Because it goes on to say, he was born of the seed of David, that same lineage, but it clarifies it and says, according to the flesh. It is known today through medical science that the blood which flows in an unborn baby's arteries and veins is not derived from the mother at all. It is produced within the body of the unborn child after the introduction of the male sperm to the ovum. An unfertilized ovum can never develop blood by itself. Only a few hours after the introduction of the male sperm, red streaks occur in the egg, denoting the presence of blood. God is so wonderful. The male or father element adds life. For the life is in the blood to the egg. All of the blood which is formed in the embryo itself and as a result of the contribution of the male parent. From the time of conception until the time of birth. Listen to this. From the time of conception until the time of birth, not one single drop of blood ever passes from the mother to the child. Nutrients do by osmosis, but not the blood. This is documented well in scientific and medical journals. My God is amazing. Since Adam was the head, the federal head of the human race, and all of his offspring had sin-stained blood, my God made a way that no human father contributed to the birth of Jesus. So no sin-stained blood was in his veins. The Father in heaven's contribution came by way of the Holy Spirit of God. Again, Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Lastly, the blood of Jesus. Here is a partial list of what is found in the Word of God. The blood of Jesus gives us pardon, forgiveness, life, protection from Satan, victory, right standing with God, access to God, and many, many other things. It is holy and it is precious. And when we come together to worship, or when you pray at home and you have access to the Father, when you are able to say, I know that I'm saved, I know that I am redeemed, it is because you inherited Adam's sin-stained blood, but Jesus had not one drop of Adam's blood in him. And he laid down his life for you and I so that atonement could be made, because atonement requires sinless blood. Amen? Amen. Something for you to ponder on.